Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, to be able to share God's word. Oh no. There we go. Try not to press the wrong buttons. I'm so excited today. Because we are beginning this new series on global mission. And I love global mission for lots of reasons. I love it because this mission and missionaries is what stirred my heart originally to serve among international students, where some of you know that I'm working today, seeking to bring the message of Jesus to people from many parts around the world. And I love this topic because it's just so crazy and big. When like Jesus has ridiculous plans for the world, doesn't he? A world that knows Jesus. He asks his disciples to make disciples from every nation. It's big, it's crazy, it's impossible. Yet such is God's power to bring transformation. That it's not just an unrealistic dream, but something that can and does happen. And though we are small and insignificant here at St. George's, Jesus invites us to be to see all nations know him. And so over the next 4 weeks, this is what we're going to be looking at. We want to be growing in our love for the nations. Today, thinking about praying for global mission. Next week, caring for global missionaries. Then giving towards global mission. And finally, thinking about sending and going. There's also some Bible study materials that go along with this sermon series. Hopefully, you'll get to do that if you're in a small group Bible study. If you're not in a small group Bible study, well, could there be a better time to join one? I do not think so. So make sure you come and talk to me about that after the service if you'd like to be in a small group during the week. You could also use those studies on your own or with a friend as well. There's some hard copies in front of Julia's office. But before we go too much further, I do hear me that I come this morning not as a great prayer for global mission, not as great as I wish I were or would like to be. Because prayer is hard and praying for global mission is no exception. And so I'm not here today as someone who's an expert or someone who's got everything together, but as a fellow learner with you. And my hope is that together we will grow in our prayerfulness for global mission here at St. George's. So that through our prayers, the ends of the earth will be reached for Jesus. And that is a big vision, and we do need God's help. So I'm going to pray now and ask for that. Heavenly Father, there is no one like you in all the universe, and you are great in power and might and glory. We pray that you will make your will be done in all the earth. We long for the earth to be full of knowledge of you as the waters fill the sea. We long for people from all nations to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory forever and ever. And so we pray that you will use this time together to prepare us for a lifetime of calling on you. Help us to know what to pray and how to pray. Lift our eyes to see the needs among the nations. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I said before, I want to see us here at St. George's grow in our prayerfulness for global missions so that the nations might be reached for Jesus. You know, I often find it's really easy to have a narrow focus on God's work in the world. It's easy for our prayers to mostly be about ourselves or things that directly impact us. My situation and what's happening in my life, my health, about my family, what's going on there, our church here at St. George's, and those who serve us. But you know, the kind of the further I go out from things that directly impact me, the less I think about them and the less I pray about them. But I do think it's worth aiming big. If we pray, if we aim to pray for our church, we will surely still pray for ourselves. But the nations may drop off our radar. If we pray for the suburb of McGill, we'll still surely pray for our church. But will we consider the nations? But if we aim to pray for the nations, then the chances are that we will also pray for everything closer to ourselves. It's a bit like that wise sage Mary Poppins once said, if you reach for the stars, all you get is the stars, but we found a whole new spin. If you reach for the heavens, you get the stars thrown in. So poetic. If we pray for McGill, then we'll see McGill reached for Jesus. But if we pray for the nations, we'll get McGill thrown in too. That doesn't rhyme quite so well. But I'm convinced that if we pray this way here, then God will work through our prayers for the ends of the earth. Do you believe that or not? Do you really believe that our prayers here at this church here at St. George's can impact the nations? Do they really make that much of a difference? I've got a friend, Seth, and he tells a story about his grandfather, who was a pioneering missionary in Ethiopia. At the age of 21, Seth's grandfather stood on a hill and looked out over a valley, and he saw many tribes who had never heard about Jesus. He returned to Australia on home assignment, and he wrote the names of those tribes on a bookmark and gave them out. Two young girls took those bookmarks and promised to pray for those tribes. And many years later, Seth's grandfather again returned to Australia and he visited those two girls. And they showed him the bookmarks worn down by use. And he had the privilege of telling them that their prayers had been heard, that every single one of those tribes now had Christians singing the praises of Jesus. And Seth will recount that if you were to ask his grandfather today, more than 60 years later, why those tribes were reached for Jesus, well, he will tell you it's because two girls got down on their knees and prayed. It's a good story, isn't it? And I've heard Seth tell it more than once, and it does. It inspires me to pray. But is it true? Were those tribes really reached because of answered prayer? Now, I confess that sometimes I kind of doubt that. I doubt that my prayers are that powerful, that God will work through them in that way. I doubt, but Jesus doesn't. And the Bible is filled with calls for us to pray and examples of the power of prayer in the lives of ordinary believers. Jesus says that we should always pray and not give up. In Colossians 4, our reading, Paul says to devote yourselves to prayer. And Luke highlights how both Jesus and the apostles were earnest in prayer. And so our prayers, they're meant to be something that's an always action. They're meant to be something that we're devoted to. Our prayer is something that we should be earnest in. And then the Bible also seeks to motivate us to have this kind of attitude in our prayers. Jesus says that the Father gives good gifts to those who ask him. We looked at that earlier this year in Matthew 7. God loves to answer our prayers, just as a father loves to give good gifts to his children. James says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. prayer does something. It makes a difference. Now, some people think that we just pray because it kind of makes us feel better, or it's an expression of dependence on God. But it's more than that. Prayer really does do something. It's the way that God works. And then there's plenty of examples of how God hears and answers the prayers of his people in the scriptures, isn't there? And explicit prayers relating to global missions. Examples that reveal God's will for us and God's will for the nations. One such one is Psalm 67 that we had read for us. It's kind of a theme song for the next 4 weeks. Mark Peterson, he's preaching next week. He rang me on Friday and he said, I've chosen the same Bible readings as you have for my sermon next week. And I said, well, I got in first. You have to. No, I didn't say that. I said, that's fine. We can have that reading again, this reading again, because it's such a good prayer for the nations. As God's children, we long for blessing. Do you long for blessing? For God's favor to be on you? I think we do. And this psalmist, he's no different. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. But what's his purpose in wanting to receive blessing? It's not selfish, is it? It's not like, God bless us so that my life can be better. No. Look at verse 2. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And then at the center of this psalm, it's got a beautiful structure kind of starting and ending with what the psalmist wanting to see, with blessing and wanting to see the nations saved. And then right at the center in verse 4 is this idea that the nations will be glad and sing for joy because they are coming under God's rule, God's just rule. And that's surrounded by verse 3 and 5 with this repeated refrain, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. God has blessed us here at St. George's. We enjoy a long history of gospel proclamation. We have a roof over our heads. We have space for kids' ministry. We have space to share life and food together, like the community lunch today or the online dinner during the week. We have faithful and gifted servants teaching us week by week in Mike, Ali, Dan, and Kat. We have individual personal skills serving the church here. We have wealth. We have much else. We have the Bible in our own language, not just one version, but many, so much. And Psalm 67 calls us to reflect on these blessings and, yes, to give thanks to God for them, but also to want to see those blessings overflowed that the nations might praise Jesus. Even though there are few Christians in Adelaide, we're still the city of churches, a place where you can easily access the message of Jesus. But there are billions who live in places which are less reached and less resourced than us. This is a map. It's taken from a website called the Joshua Project, which seeks to inform us about unreached people groups around the world, places where it's difficult to hear about Jesus. It's pretty easy to kind of see what's going on. Where it's green, it's easy to hear about Jesus. Where it's red, it's hard to hear about Jesus. And I can tell you, there are a lot of people who live where it's red and even where it's yellow. We've been blessed by God. It's good and right that we join with the psalmist and pray that our blessing might overflow to these places, that all the peoples might praise our God. Now, many of you know that during the week, I do international student ministry with focus at our city university campuses. I'm one of three full-time workers with AFES doing this at Adelaide Uni 3. This is Susan. She's not really there, but you can kind of wave and say hi. Susan's from Scotland in the UK, but she's currently an international student ministry worker like me with the GBU in Paris, in France. The GBU is the sister organization of AFES that I work with. I know about her because she discipled one of the students who's now part of our focus group while she studied in France. And we've also been thinking about global mission, and she sent us this video about her life and ministry as an international student worker. Now, when Susan began a group for international students in Paris in 2016, she was the only international student ministry worker with the GBU in the whole country of 68 million people. Think about that for a moment. 3 staff for the University of Adelaide, 1 for France. Susan shared about the burden and loneliness of this in her video. You see, France, it may be a wealthy country, it may be a Western country, it's a country which has a history of Christianity, but today things are different. When it comes to Christian workers, it is much less resourced than we are here in Adelaide. We've been blessed with so much. Let's join the psalmist and pray that our blessing might overflow to places like France, which are less resourced. God has indeed been gracious to us and blessed us. May his ways be known on earth, his salvation among all peoples. Well, if Psalm 67 is a prayer for the nations, in our other reading from Matthew chapter 9 on mission, we find Jesus giving a prayer for his disciples. In the reading from Matthew, Jesus, he's traveling throughout Judea and he sees the crowds and has compassion on them because they are helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he speaks to his disciples, giving them this prayer. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, I don't know about you, but this is not the prayer that I expected at this point. You see, when Jesus looks out and sees the helpless, lost sheep, I expect him to say, "Pray that they will meet Jesus." But he doesn't. No, he asks his disciples to pray for themselves, that God might raise up workers to send out to these people. American church pastor David Platt, he has this to say about this word. This really stood out to me. "Why do you think Jesus would look at the crowds around him with all their deep needs and turn to his disciples and tell them to pray for themselves? The answer is humbling. When Jesus looked at the harassed and helpless multitudes, apparently his concern was not that the lost would not come to the Father. Instead, his concern was that his followers would not go to the lost." I find that a pretty challenging comment. Could it be that in 2016, there was only one GBU staff worker in France working with internationals because we as God's church are not praying for this and we're not praying for this? You know, I'm praying all the time for focus. I'm praying that students who might come along, that they might meet Jesus. I pray for our Christian students that they might live for Jesus. But I can tell you, I have never prayed for Jesus to raise up workers for international student ministry in France. Not once. But praise God that Susan has been praying that prayer and asking her supporters in the more reached and more resourced UK to pray that prayer. In her video, she shared how this September, four new staff will begin serving with international students across France. Isn't that great? And she said in her video, that's because of prayer. Praise God. See, but why don't we pray for God to raise up workers for the less reached and less resourced places more than we do? You know, as I thought about this question, I thought, well, actually, as the Georgians, we're without excuse because we've even seen God working in this way. I couldn't remember how many years we prayed for the church in Cooper Pedy, but Phyllis filled me in at 8:30. 6 years. 6 years we prayed in this church that God would provide a worker for the church in Cooper Pedy before Dave and Margie Wood were appointed. And I firmly believe that that couple are God's answer to our prayers, along with the prayers of many others. Isn't it great to be able to rejoice and give glory to God because of how he answers that prayer? And wouldn't it be great to see that kind of prayer answered more often? But so often we don't pray like this, do we? We don't pray these big prayers for the nations. You see, with all the ways that the Bible encourages us and motivates us to pray for global mission, why is it that we struggle? Perhaps our issues are intellectual. We don't think our prayers matter, or we don't think our prayers will really change anything because God, well, he will act anyway. Or perhaps we're just not aware of the needs for global mission and the needs around the world, and so we're not motivated to pray. Or maybe our issues are character-based. We feel competent to reach our own goals in our own strength, although surely our goals are much smaller than God's goals for the nations to know him. Or when it comes down, maybe we just don't care that much about the billions who are lost. I know I struggle with both these things. I tend to pray once I've reached my limits rather than all the time. And because I know my limits fall well short of God's goals, well, my prayers even then are small, not big. And priority of global mission just kind of drops off the radar. Or perhaps we struggle for external reasons, things like busyness or lack of good role models. We don't see devoted, earnest, ongoing prayer for the nations modeled well around us in the West. Peter Adam, he was the former principal of Ridley Bible College in Melbourne, and he tells a story of how some Sudanese students, well, they were really worried about their church location because it turned out that the neighbors' houses were really close to the church, and they were concerned that they would keep the neighbors up during their noisy all-night prayer meetings. Let that sink in for a moment. If, like me, you've never been to a noisy all-night prayer meeting. And I thought, maybe this is just like an isolated case, you know, like it's just the Sudanese in Melbourne at Ridley College who have noisy all-night prayer meetings. And so earlier this year, I asked one of our focus students from Ghana if she'd ever been to a noisy all-night prayer meeting. And she said, yes. In the West, we are prayerless. We lack good examples of persistent, devoted, earnest prayer. Which of these struggles in prayer resonate for you, I wonder? Are your prayers for the nations less than you wish because of intellectual reasons or character reasons or external reasons? Or like me, all of the above? And what can we do about it? How can we grow in prayer for mission here at St. George's? If we struggle with intellectual factors, then we need to go back to the Bible, don't we, and be reminded of the power of prayer, be reminded of how the Bible motivates us to pray. If we're not aware of the needs, well, we can find out. We can start learning about the less reached and less resourced. Go to a website like the Joshua Project and see what they've got to say. Go to a place like Operation World, which gives you information and prayer points for every nation. Character problems, well, they're harder to deal with, aren't they? But in this case, surely we can start with the simpler prayer that God might change our hearts, that our desires will overlap more with what he wants. Well, we could read missionary biographies. That's a great way to grow in wonder about how God has been at work among the nations throughout history. And do make sure you plan to come and hear Maggie share more extensively next month. That'll enthuse us for global mission. Or what about things like busyness or lack of good role models? Well, the good news is we do have great prayers here at St. George's, and we can learn from them. Faye Young, she runs a regular prayer group with 8:30 people. There's our weekly online meetings on Saturday mornings and our quarterly in-person prayer meetings that John runs. Joining these prayer meetings and making that a priority can be a great way to learn from others who are faithful in prayer. Or perhaps pick up a book on prayer. One of my favorite books on prayer is this one, A Praying Life by Paul Miller. It's impossible to read this book without growing in passion and enthusiasm for prayer. He kind of has this way of drawing you into his own prayer life and the joy and excitement of that without making you feel guilty that you're useless at prayer at the same time. I really recommend it. It's not difficult to read. It's like super worth getting. It's true we can't pray for everything, but we can be deliberate in putting global mission into our prayer times in some way. We can pray for one nation or one people group regularly. We can use one online resource to help inform us about the less reached and less resourced. We can choose to be regularly part of one prayer meeting here at St. George's. We can choose to be informed and be an active member of one mission organization like CMS. What's one thing that you could do differently to grow in prayerfulness for global mission? This year, I've tried to make it a priority to attend the quarterly prayer meetings, and it does kind of feel a bit early on Saturday morning after a late Friday night with international students, but it's totally worth it. I have enjoyed and appreciated being part of those meetings, and I want to continue. Let me finish. It's God's plan and desire for the nations to know him and praise him. And prayer is one way that we get to be involved in God's plans. Persistent, devoted, earnest prayer. Motivated by knowing we have a God who is sovereign and powerful. God who delights to answer prayers. A God who works through our prayers to bring about his plans. Prayer is hard, but God is faithful. And as we humble ourselves and ask him, he will shape our desires to be like his desires. He will lift our prayers from small things concerning our own situation to his global plans for the nations. And he will raise up workers to be involved in his great plan through our prayers. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are the great and mighty and awesome God over all the nations. Thank you for pouring out your blessing on us, for including us in Christ. We thank you for those who have brought the gospel of Jesus to us and for those who serve us here at St. George's. Please help us to grow in our love for the nations, for the less reached, for the less resourced. And so we pray this morning that the nations might be glad and rejoice and praise you. We pray that you will raise up workers from among us, that the billions in our world who are lost might be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.